Well, let's jump into this lesson today. I've entitled it, and I know some people have to have a title to write it in their book. It's called The Renewed Mind. And before we start, let's read John chapter 3 and verse 16. We do this corporately together. We read it out loud. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we're going to read John 3, verses 16, 17, and 18. And then we're going to read John chapter 13 and verse 34 and 35. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. And I like the New Living Translation in verse 35. It says, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. This love that we show to one another will prove to the world that we are God's disciples. Amen. And the entrance of thy word, Psalm 119:130, the entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. And verse 105 in the same chapter, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, Wednesday, let's go over here for a moment. You're in John. Let's go back to chapter 1. And let's look at verse 4. Of John, the Gospel of John. And it says, in him was life, and that word life, and this is what we want to have you focus on here. The word life is Zoe. It is the God, it's God's very nature. If you look it up and you can take the time to look it up in a concordance, it means, just like we read in John 3:16, where it talks about whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That means everlasting Zoe. That's God's very nature. That is God. And here when we say, in him was life, in him was Zoe, was the life of God. And the life was the light. That means that everlasting life, that Zoe, is the light of men. And so when you read that in some other translations, in the Good News Translation, it says, the Word was the source of life. He's talking about Christ. The Word was the source of life. And this life, this Zoe, brought light to people. And sometimes you can look at that, another way to look at that is light can also mean development. It also can mean the development of people. And how many, I mean, I know you've noticed this, or you've asked the question, when you look at this country, when you look at the United States, and not only just this country, I mean, we're familiar with it, but other countries that consider themselves Christian nations, that life, they have further developed than other nations. Is that not true? It sure has. So the light, the life of Christ that is in them has caused the development of that country to be much more advanced than other countries. And you can see, you know, you talk about other countries, you may refer to them as third world countries, and they're not developed. Well, if you look into those countries, you begin to see that there's a lot of paganism, there's a lot of witchcraft, there's a lot of things going on where there's darkness. And so the light, this eternal life is the light. So it not only affects us eternally as far as salvation, but it affects the mental capacity of man, where he can think at a different level. And you'd be interesting, I didn't do it today, but I was looking at it last night. Just go and search and look at who the well-known inventors were from years past, hundreds of years back, and look at what kind of principles they had. They were either Christian or Jewish. And you look at them, you run down the list. Now, some of them were atheist, but a lot of the major advances to health and advances in science were made by Christians. Why? It's this life, this eternal life that's in us affects our mental. We begin to think and see like God. Now, they may not have realized it, but their mental capacity, they begin to see things. I mean, look at George Washington Carver. They're still figuring out how to use the peanut. He was a Christian. And so my comment is, what about you? What about you? When you get your mind renewed to the Word of God, you are what it says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And one of the translations, I just love it. It refers to it. I believe it's the 20th century New Testament. And it says, it's the 20th century New Testament. It says, do not think that I am saying this under pressure of want. For I, however I am placed, have learned to be independent of circumstances. See, when you know who you are, then you know who your source is. And you can be independent of the circumstances, and you can do anything in His ability. And so I believe that we're on the cusp of a body of believers, and it's happening now. A lot of times we just don't hear about it. But I believe we're on the cusp of believers knowing who they are in Christ, and they're looking to God for wisdom and knowledge and insight, and are asking. How many were here? I know a lot of you were. When Oral Roberts was here, what did he use? He said, I see I, didn't he? Ideas, concepts, insights. He said, you ask God for ideas, concepts, insights. And so we should be the ones with the ideas. We should not be subject to this world system. We should be changing the world system into a godly system, not a godless system. And that's why God is looking to His body, because those that walk in the light of this life, He's going to give more and more. So why? So He can be exalted. He can be exalted in that. Now, the mind that we have, Let's turn over and just look at some familiar scriptures, because I want to just walk down a few things. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:17, and let's look at this morning again. And this is all part of renewing the mind. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or a new species of being. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So what does that mean, old things have passed away, all things have become new? It just means we're a new creature, we're a new creation. That means the sin nature has been removed from my spirit. I've been redeemed. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. That means that we are newborn babes. That means I have a brand new spirit. Sinless spirit. Now, that old nature, when we talk about an old nature, that old sin nature has been removed from my spirit, but it hasn't been removed from my flesh. It hasn't. And your thinking, unless it gets renewed, it's going to be the same. See, you've got to let the Word of God influence your thinking. So you say, no, I don't do that. See, but if you're weak, you yield to things. Why? Because there's this struggle between your heart, it knows to do right, but there's this struggle with your thinking and the appetites of the flesh. And so we yield to things. So that's why it's important to get our minds renewed. Now I'm going to just run down some scriptures. You can write these down here. 1 Peter 2:2, it says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may what? Grow thereby. So your spirit has been made brand new, but you're not fully developed yet. Even your spirit man is a babe. If you've been brand new, if you've been born again and you're brand new, you need to grow. It needs to be developed. It needs to come to what? Maturity. And so Philippians 3:12, it says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. So even here, Paul is saying, not that I had attained or I'd already been made perfect. He recognizes he's on this path to what? Perfection. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. When he said already made perfect, perfect means a finish or something that's brought to an end. So as a Christian, whatever stage we're in, we're moving towards what we would call an end or perfection. We're being developed, you see. And everybody's in a different place of development. You can see that. You can go to the gym. People are in different stages. Some are huffing and puffing after 5 minutes. And some have been there for hours and haven't broken a sweat. So there's some in different stages of development. And then there's some, the very thought of it, they break out in a sweat. They haven't even gone to the gym. They're just thinking about it. Makes them nervous. Right. You may be like that, I don't know. But in the New Living Translation, Philippians 3:12, it says, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things. See? He's saying he hasn't achieved them. Or that I have already reached perfection. See? But I keep working toward that day when I will finally be all that Christ saved me for and wants me to be. So when you come into Christ, you're a babe, you desire the sincere milk. I believe some of us have gone on and reached a state of development. But guess what? There's more. There's more to reach. Amen? And so as we do, in that process, your spirit is being developed, but so your mind also needs to be developed. And it needs to be renewed. 1 Corinthians 6:18, it says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his body. And the Amplified says, shun immorality and all sexual looseness, flee from impurity in thought, word, or deed. It says, any other sin which a man commits is one outside the body, but if he commits sexual immorality, sins against his own body. So the point here is that if the sin is outside, if it's outside the body, it has to be spiritual. And it says, however, in this case, when it talks about fornication, it still originates in the spirit. The thought does. And your spirit has to give permission to sin, or your body can't do it. Isn't that correct? So your spirit has to give permission. So if you get a thought and you let that thought, you meditate on it long enough, what does it say? You meditate on a thought long enough, you can start to think about acting upon it. Well, that thought goes from a thought and then it drops into your heart. Well, that's what it says. Even Jesus talked about those things coming out of your heart. So your spirit, it is spiritual, but the act is physical. But it didn't come from the physical. Its origin is the spiritual. You can't see it. And you meditated on it, get it down in your heart, you gave your body permission to sin. Isn't that right? That's for sure. I mean, it doesn't have to be sexual sin. You could be meditating on something to walk out of love. Same thing. Or you could be meditating on a big plate of ribs. Now, I ain't joking. I'm just telling you, some folks will sit and meditate about food when they should be listening to the Word of God, thinking about their pot roast and thinking about going to somewhere to eat after service, and they're meditating on that. And instead of controlling that desire and saying, you know what? No, I'll think about that later. You see? It's all, to me, it's the same thing in some ways. The sin is different, but the principle's the same. We have to control our thoughts and we renew our minds. Say, no, I'm not going to meditate on that. I'm not going to think on that. I'm going to put that thought down. So you are the custodian of your house. You are responsible for what your body does. And you allow your body to do. 1 Corinthians 9:27, it says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So you have to keep your body under. See, and that's part of the process. That's part of renewing the mind, that your mind has to be renewed to what the Word of God says. If the Word of God says you have to keep your body under, then you've got to say, when a thought comes to do something, no, I'm not doing that. And that's exercising the Word of God. That's no different than David dealing with a bear. You're dealing with something else, whatever that something else is. And when it comes to you, you say, no, I'm not doing that. I'm putting my body under. Isn't that true? Yes. It's no different. So then when something bigger comes, you've already dealt with this. You go, nah, it's not a problem. I'm going over here. I can get through this. See, and that's no different when God says, if you can't be faithful with another man's stuff, he won't give you yours. The principle's the same. If you can't be faithful with your own body, how could you then be the oversight of something else? See, the principles are the same. We are the stewards over our own body. We're the stewards over our thoughts. And we need to put them down. But we need to look at that in light of what? In light of the Word of God. And we can do it. We just say, no, I'm not doing that. I'm putting it down. You make a choice. Now, that doesn't mean you won't make some mistakes and stumble, but you're making a choice. You say, no, I missed it. No, I'm not doing that. And I'm going to change. And God sees your heart. He sees you're trying to change. He sees you're making an effort, but you're sticking with it. I'm changing. There was a comment that Pastor Billy Joel made. He said that we were talking on Friday. He said that things, you have to take responsibility. Change requires taking responsibility. And very few things change when things are status quo. You know what I mean? If you just keep going along the same way, things never change. You've got to make a choice to change. You say, no, I'm not doing that. I'm making a change. And that change, of course, we're talking about should be in line with the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. See the responsibility piece here. From all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. I like the Amplified. It says, therefore, since these great promises are ours, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that contaminates and defiles body and spirit. That makes it plain, doesn't it? And bring our consecration to completeness in the reverential fear of God. So anything that defiles body and spirit, that's a big list. Whatever that is. Anything that defiles body and spirit, you need to take charge over that. You need to let the Word of God be the light in that area. Romans 6:6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. In the New Living, it says, our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. See, this is part of renewing the mind. You are not a slave to the appetites of your flesh. You can let yourself be, but you're not a slave to it. This is what Romans 6:6 says. It refers to that body of sin. It says, see, and that's a way the translators translated. It says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Well, your body wasn't destroyed, was it? Was it?
No.
It says, so body of sin must be referring to something else. I'm not talking about your body, which has sin nature in it. That wasn't destroyed. So it must mean something else. It's the sin nature was destroyed. That's what was destroyed. See? And that's really what the other translations say. New Living says, our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. See, so sin has lost its power in your life. Now, you can give it power by yielding to things. See, but that's where renewing your mind comes in, where you feed on the Word of God and you make choices based on this eternal life, this resurrection life that's in us. The light of that word, that's what it says, the entrance of his word or the revealing of God's word, it affects your thinking. You're not clouded anymore. See? But you can let, see, if you're more, what does it say? The natural man does what? What does the natural man do? What does Galatians 6 say? I'll read it for you. Galatians chapter 6, where it says the fleshly man. I'm sorry, not Galatians 6. I didn't say that. Romans chapter 8, excuse me. It says the carnally minded is what? To be carnally minded is death. And the carnal mind is enmity with God. So if you sow to the flesh, and I believe that's what it says in Galatians, if we sow to the flesh, we'll reap corruption. So we have to take charge. If we keep feeding to the flesh, then if your mind isn't renewed, then your flesh is going to yield to things. You know, if you keep meditating on what somebody said to you across word, see, and you keep thinking about that, they walk in the room and you just unload both barrels on them and they go, man, what I say? I didn't do anything. But you've been meditating on something they said rather than the word of God. See, that's fleshly. See, so it doesn't have to be something of a sexual nature, doesn't have to be something that can just be walking out of love towards somebody. But we have this eternal life in us that has given us the capacity to love like God loves. And so it's that capacity now that we have to tell, we have to now make choices. We have to say, I don't feel like loving you. But I'm going to do it anyways because I'm required to. It's a commandment. And all the time my mind is going, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. But the word says I have to do it. Now what happens as you yield to that and you make yourself do it? You make your mind, you put your mind down, you put the thoughts down. It didn't say, if I want to. It says, you're required to. So as you do it, it becomes easier. Amen. And what happens is, supernaturally, the supernatural power of God begins to change your heart, and it influences your mind. And so those things that bothered you before, what happened? It changed you. Amen. It just changed you. And now don't bother you anymore. Now, how many have had that? We've all had that. Things we didn't want to do, but as we did it, as we marched in that direction, the supernatural power of God changed us. On the inside, I can tell you one thing has changed me. Reading John 3:16. Every service. Supernaturally, that's changed the inside of me and my thinking. I don't look at people the same way anymore. How about you? I don't look at this world the same way. I look at them with the eyes and the heart of God. And so one of the things, I heard one of the members up in Pennsylvania say this, and it's true. He's a professor. He works at a college as a professor, a doctor, and he's at a university and has been a professor for many, many years. And he was at this particular university in Stroudsburg that he's working now with his wife. And he said, Pastor, the most revolutionary thing that has happened to me here is reading John 3:16 every service. He said, the roadway that goes through the campus is a public road. And he said, we had a Christian groups get out with placards on both sides of the road condemning people because of their lifestyle. Calling them all kinds of names. You're going to hell and this and that and the other and blah, 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 blah. And he said, just the love of God rose up in me. He said, oh, no, 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 is wrong. And he said, that alone changed my heart to look at the sinner differently and not condemn them, but to share the good news of the gospel. And so that's what happens, that your thinking is changed supernaturally. You don't even, it's not like, ding, all of a sudden, you know, I'm this way and I'm this way. No, it's over time. As you yield to the word of God, it supernaturally changes you so that you don't think the same way. Thus, you don't act the same way. But to the person, isn't that what James said? A person who, let me read this so I don't quote it incorrectly. I'm looking for this scripture in James, because I know it's in James. Where is the scripture where it says your religion? Huh? 127, right. See, pure religion. No, but this it's 26 that I want. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this religion is in vain. See, if you believe the Bible, but don't act on it, your religion's in vain. You're just talking a good game, but you're not acting on it. See? And that's really what it is. That's what it boils down to, that as we confess it, we've got to make a choice to do it. And as you do, it will supernaturally change you. This resurrection life will change your thinking and change your attitude. And some of us, including me, you know, we've all had some attitudes. We all just didn't pop out and say, whoop-de-doo, here we are, all cleaned up. No, we all had some thoughts and attitudes, opinions about things, situations, people, all of that. Yes, brother, preach. It's the truth. I mean, you know, it's the truth. You know, everyone that ain't saying amen, you ought to say amen, because y'all looking holy, y'all had attitudes. I could, you know, if I preach long enough, we'll find that little thing that makes you go, mm-hmm. It's the truth. Amen. Amen. Something will make you just go, yeah, right. And I'll just say, I'm just saying. You know, I'm just saying. But it's the power of the word of God. As we hear it and we do it, didn't say we're going to like it. Didn't say we wanted to do it or enjoyed it. But we are going to make that choice to do it, knowing. See, knowing that the power of God is going to change our thinking and correct it so that we can do what? See, we all, it's like, to me, it's like people who train for the Olympics. We all sit armchair watchers and we say, yeah. But when they show what they had to do to get there, we go, no way, Jose. I'm not doing that. You don't want to pay the price. And we all want to think like God, don't we? We all want to see like God. We want to see right through the problem. Well, there's a price to pay. You're going to have to crucify the flesh, and you have to put some things down, because this flesh has some sin in it that needs to be controlled. But the wonderful thing is that the Word of God in my heart and my renewed mind can tell my body to hush up and be quiet. I'm doing this. And it becomes a lot easier as we do it. It doesn't mean that we're not going to face continually through life challenges. But as David was, as you are managing your enemies and you're managing these adversities in your life, it doesn't mean you're going to be removed from the adversities, but it just means that when you face the next level of adversity, you've been developed. I mean, think about it. People who are in sports, when did the development start? Some of them 3 years old. They started being developed as an athlete, didn't they? And then they went to grade school and high school, and they're being developed, and they're going through tests, they're going through events, competition. And they go through, some of them, they win some, they lose some, but they're being what? Developed, so that when they get to the final event, they don't waver, do they? They say, no, I've done this, I'm going to give it my all. And so the same thing for us. As we walk through life, we're going to be faced with things, adversities. Face them. If you fall, get up. Dust yourself off. Keep stepping. Don't meditate on the failure. Keep moving forward. Face the next adversity. Meditate in the Word of God. And you're going to get there. Now, there's another scripture in James. It says in James 1:21, we were just in James, it says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. I like these big words. And receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. See? Now, when you look up in some of the other translations, it really refers more to the soul than the spirit. The Young's Literal Translation says, in meekness, be receiving the engrafted word. See, you've got to receive it, which is able to save your soul. Renew it. And the New Living says, humbly accept the word of God, which has been planted in your heart, for it has the power to save your soul. See, the Word of God has the power to save or renew your thinking. And that's, I mean, if you just look at the Word of God, it'll show you what the process is. It'll give you the plan, the process. Now, I'm going to read... let's turn over to Romans 12, and let's look at Romans 12:1. You know, one of the things, I read a letter maybe a couple of weeks ago. We support Nikki Cruz Ministries, and he writes a letter and so forth. And the letter came through, and he was talking about his time and some of the things that he's doing in the Colorado area. And he said, at no time in his 50 years in ministry, at no time has he ever seen such despondency and discouragement and floundering and failure in the body of Christ. He said, I've never seen such levels of it. People giving up, pastors quitting, people falling into stuff. And I said, and he said, it was, you know, for him, it just, he said, it's just something else to see and shouldn't be. And really, if you get down to it, it's a matter of the mind not being renewed to the Word of God and the heart being fed in the Word of God. Because I believe in Joshua 1:8, it says, if we'll meditate on this word day and night and let it not depart from our mouths, we'll make our way prosperous. So it really tells me that when there's failures like that to that degree, it means we've departed from this word and we're not renewing our minds and we're spending more time looking at the circumstances and issues in life and we're yielding to them. And that's what it is. But God is looking. He keeps warning us. He keeps telling us through the Word of God, maintain your temple. Maintain your mind. Cast down vain imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You do that. And so in Romans 12, 1 and 2, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, or you could say worship, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I like the Good News Translation. It says, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to his service and pleasing to him. So we have to offer ourselves as an offering to God and dedicate ourselves. Dedicate what? Your thinking, your body, your heart, everything. You need to dedicate it for his service that it be pleasing to him. And when we do that, the one thing, if you look up, and here's the thing, when you read verse 2 and it says, be not conformed to this world. In verse 2 in the New Living and the Good News says, do not conform yourselves to the standards of this world, but let God transform you inwardly by a complete change of your mind. So it is possible. You can have a complete change of mind so that you don't conform to the standards of this world. Then you will be able to know the will of God, what is good and pleasing to him and is perfect. The New Living says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. See, so we don't have to adapt. Not only don't we have to, we shouldn't be adapting to the customs and traditions of this earth and this world, but we should be committing our lives to God so that he changes our entire thinking so we see it from God's perspective. Now, that's going to mean some choices, isn't it? That means there's a distinction. You know, one of the things that you see, even in this world today, you can go 2 miles up the road here and you can drive into a Hasidim community. You can go 3 hours from here and go into an Amish area. Now, I'm not saying that's taking it to an extreme, but they're saying, I'm not conforming to the customs of this earth and this world. Now, I'm not telling you to walk around like they do and dress like they do. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is there should be a distinction between light and dark. And when the lines get blurred, there's a problem.
Amen.
When I can't tell you from the world because of your conduct, there's a problem.
Amen.
Not a problem for me, is a problem for you.
Amen.
That you need to have your mind and your thinking changed. Why are you yielding? You got to ask yourself that. Why am I yielding to? Why do I feel the need to conform? Why do I feel the pressure to conform to the way they think? God has placed you with His very nature in here. We are to be a light set upon a hill. And it says not to have a basket put over it. And one way to snuff it out is that you conform to the way the world operates. There should be a distinction between light and dark. And that means there's choices that you have to make in this earth about the things that you listen to, the things that you watch, the things that you handle, the business deal. There should be a distinction between you. And see, as you do, God will supernaturally change you. See, we want to conform, but then we also want God to show us how to make $1 million. Uh-huh. We want God to make us $1 million, but we're going to conform to the way the world does it. No. He says, you obey me. You act like you're supposed to act. You seek me. You commit your thinking and your life to me. And as you do, I'll watch for a while and see how you be. See, where's your heart? And so for me, it's choices. You know, when I worked for corporate America, I got saved. Man, I mean, all the stuff that corporate America wants you to participate in, I just said, sorry, I don't. Now, I was a good worker, and I was at a level in the corporation that whether you're low or high, it don't matter. If you do a good job, they need you. They want you. And so what I participate in and what I do, there should be a distinction between me and somebody who's not in the light. They should see a difference. Now, I don't even have to preach. I don't have to say a word. I just walk in and my countenance, my presence, I know there's something different. You know, I can walk in somewhere, and I know you can too. I've walked into places and I'll look, I don't even know them, and I'll say, this is a Christian. I just see it. I can tell. Something about that person is different. They didn't say anything. But you should be able to see a difference in somebody because of the eternal life that's in them. And that's what I mean. And that comes from renewing your mind. And when we talk about we walk by faith and not by sight, we walk by our convictions. Yeah, you walk by faith, But you walk by your convictions. And not by sight. What are your convictions? Your convictions should be what's in the Word of God. Because it is the power of God that can change me. And that's what's going to get us through some of the stuff that the world... what does the Scripture say? It's going to get darker. And darker. And darker. Doesn't it say that? It's going to get darker. And the stuff that the world's going to want to push is going to get darker and darker. And you're going to have to make some choices. As a child of God, what does it say in Hebrew, in Ephesians chapter 5? I believe it says, be ye therefore followers. Doesn't it say that? Be therefore followers of God. And in some translations it says, be an imitator. Right? Ephesians 5:8. It talks about, in Ephesians 5:8, it says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are you what? Light in the Lord. Do what? Walk as children of the light. And that word walk is used all through the New Testament. That word is peripateo, and it means to regulate your life that way. You're to regulate your life as a child of God, as a child of the light. So we're to regulate, make our way. That's the way we're to conduct. That's also another word, to conduct oneself. So you're to conduct yourself as a child of the light. How is that going to happen? You've got to renew your mind. And if you don't, there's going to be this constant war going on between your mind. Because if you're looking at worldly stuff, meditating on it, thinking on it, weighing it, considering it, then you're going to yield to that. And your body's going to yield to it. And your spirit's kind of going to get shut out. And it has to be in agreement with your mind. And so the choices that we're going to make, we've got to start exercising those choices, whatever they are, to make the change. So we've received God's life and nature. That means we've received His wisdom, we've received His love, and we've received His ability. So we can see the problem. Now we have to renew our mind and make a choice not to submit to it, but overcome it. See? And we can do that. We can do it. Philippians 4, I'll just read this again. Philippians 4, I'm going to read it in the King James. It says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And you know, I just share this because a lot of times when we work on jobs, whether you're working a construction job, I shared with you a Wednesday. I grew up in a Christian home. I never heard my parents ever curse once, ever. E-V-E-R, never, ever, ever. Never heard him curse in the house. But man, I had a truck driver mouth. I cursed like a sailor. How do they call it? A four-letter vocabulary? That's what I had. And I could turn it on and off at will. And you might say, well, how did that happen? It was associations. When I was in high school, I started working construction. And when I went through engineering school and college, I worked summers as an electrician. And I worked on big construction jobs and got to the place, even though I was just a helper, they let me work as a journeyman in the electrical trade, and I would oversee a whole job. And I was around construction workers that had vile mouths. I mean, their nouns were curse words. Their verbs were curse words. Their adjectives were curse words. Everything was a curse word to describe anything. And you're around that, and I wasn't born again. So I picked up that habit. And I just cursed like a sailor. All the time. Openly. Now, if I was around people, I'd just, out of respect, I wouldn't do it. But around certain groups of people, they say, let her rip. That's just the truth. But the very second I got born again, the very second I got born again, I received eternal life. And I remember coming home, and Pastor John Lipscomb led me to the Lord. I remember coming home working on my sports car. I always had sports cars. I like fast. And I race cars, so I like fast cars. So I was under the car doing something, and I jammed my hand with a wrench. And normally, I'm talking in another language. And it was, but that day, nothing came out.
All right.
And it arrested my attention because I had been so used to cursing that when nothing, I mean, I didn't even say, oh shoot. I didn't even say, ouch. Nothing came out. And when I came home from church that day, it was a ball of fire in here, and I'm still going, what happened to me? What happened to me? And I didn't understand, but I'm telling you, to this day, that second I got saved, my spirit changed. And that told me that junk that was in my spirit was spiritual. And so it got roto-rooted out, and I was a brand new man. So there was nothing in there. But now some things, habits, you have to change. That's thinking. You yield to your flesh to some things. But I'm telling you, we need to be a light in this earth, and we need not conform to the world. There needs to be a definite distinction. God said, you're a light. You not gonna be, you are. Because you have the light in you. That means your conduct should be different. That means your speech should be different. That means your lifestyle should be different. And some may say, well, you know, it's not that easy. Yeah, it is. Because one of the things that Pastor Clint said, he said years ago, he said, you know, people make choices and they do what they want to do. He said, when we sang in the choir, he said, when I sang in the choir, I used to drive to Philadelphia. And he said, I'd just get in the car and flat foot it down there. Because why? I wanted to. And so what happens is when you don't get your mind renewed, your want to with your body is greater than the want to in your spirit. So you may want to not do wrong in your spirit, but unless your mind is changed by the word of God supernaturally, you're going to be sitting here a year from now dealing with the same issue. You've got to want to change. You've got to want it not just to change, but what did it say in Romans 12? It says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, because it's pleasing to Him. He paid a sacrifice to save you, to heal you, to put eternal life in you so you will never know what hell is like. He tasted that for you. And I can't make a tough choice? Yeah, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can do it. Because if we can't get by this, then how are you being prepared for the ministry that God really has for you? You can't. You can't. You're going to have to go through some things. You're going to have to make some choices so that you're what? Developed to be used. And we can do it. Amen? We can grow and get to that state of perfection where we are not changed by the world. We are changing and impacting the world. We're impacting it because we are a standard bearer. Amen. Amen. I must stop here because we got communion to serve. But I believe to the hearer, you, the minute you decide to change and to yield to God and present yourself a living sacrifice, He sees that in your heart, and the Holy Ghost will start to work. You say, Lord, just talk to Him honest. Say, Lord, this is hard for me. This is tough for me, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to yield to the Word of God. And that, you know, that tough conversation that you had is going to change. You're going to look back 6 months from now and say, you know what, this isn't that hard. I can do this. I can do all things through Christ. Who what? Strengthens me. He strengthens me. He gives me the ability to do it. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You for Your word. I believe that the words that we've heard, Father, would change our attitude, change our thinking, change our minds, so that we become world changers. And I believe that this body of believers is our world changers. I decree it and believe it. Those that are here going into areas to change cities, change towns and countries. I believe that, Father, with all of my heart. And I believe the minute we believe it, we will change the world. In the name of Jesus. Father, I thank You for Your word. I thank You that it is full of power and light. And I thank You, Father, that it's deposited in our hearts, changing our hearts and our thinking by the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, amen.